This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday.
Yes, we're back. This is Sunday
Guess
Supplement, and we're back.
Back again.
Last week we weren't here.
Hello.
Hello. We weren't here last week because things broke.
Yes, things did break. That is the danger of technology.
Yeah, and me hitting it with hammers in anger.
You don't have a hammer.
I'd like a hammer.
You'd hammer in the morning.
I would. I'd do all the hammering I could.
And also, you'd be a great compere.
Is that an MC Hammer joke?
It was an MC Hammer joke.
Right, okay. With my balloon trousers. No, my parachute trousers. Is that what he has?
Yes. But the key is, when you have a technical problem, Simon, the thing you need to remember is you can't touch this.
I see what you've done there. So this week, we're going to give you a double deluxe bumper episode to make up for last week, where we gave you a very short chicken nugget size episode.
Yeah, but it was a tasty nugget, you know, to be fair. It's all right. But, you know, it was informative, if nothing else.
Yeah, it was.
And it was nothing else. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we're doing this week, and which what we were supposed to be doing last week, and we were all excited about it, was we're doing a Saturday special.
I've got little pom-poms.
You haven't got little pom-poms, nor have you got nipple tassels.
I've also got buttock tassels, which are much bigger.
So we're having a Sunday supplement. No, we're not. We're having a Saturday supplement special.
Saturday! Yeah, because Saturday, there are loads of like Sunday papers that come out on Saturday, which is a bit odd, but they do.
Yeah.
They do. And you get more supplements in some of them than you do on a Sunday. It's mental.
So that's why we're doing it. Which one did you choose?
I obviously chose The Guardian because I always get The Guardian on Saturday anyway. So no expense spared.
You're just being cheap, aren't you?
But it's the one I get. It's the one I read. It's my paper. I'm not gonna betray my paper. I'm going to beat you, Simon.
Okay, well, I was going to get the Financial Times Weekend, but no one had it on Saturdays.
Aww.
Oh, that's the other thing. We're doing 2 weeks' worth this week. That's the double deluxe bit of it. We're doing two lots of the same paper.
I think you've done a really poor job explaining all of this, Simon.
Yeah, I think
basically,
right.
Listeners, to make up for last week, which didn't go very well, we are going to give you a bumper, two newspapers over 2 weeks, massive edition of the Sunday supplement. And to make it extra special, we're not doing it on a Sunday, we're doing it on a Saturday. Yeah.
I just said all that.
You said it in a way which I found confusing.
You wanted to have a quick extra supplementary face-off at the start, didn't you?
I think so. I've got some pretty cool extra, you know, like little pull-out sections, which I imagine you'd be quite impressed with.
What have you got?
I've got an entire supplement about knitting. It gives you knitting patterns and you can knit stuff for your iPod and you can knit stuff for your wrist. And you can make, I kid you not, fruit cozies.
Like a hat for an apple.
Yeah, a little pouch for an apple and a whole little sheath for a banana. It looks filthy.
It looks like a woolen condom, surely.
It does look like a woolen condom that your grandma knits for you.
All I've got is pictures from the Open Golf Championships.
I've got a comic.
Oh.
And it's amazing. It's an actual kid's thing. But on the inside, you've got stuff to do, like make a paper plate parrot, or it has suggestions of what kids should do with their day. So you've got to clean your shoes, that's not such a good one, or write a story about one, a horse with a magic pen, or two, a fly called Gerald. We haven't even opened the paper yet, right, readers? This is going to be a great Saturday.
I've lost, haven't I? Clearly.
You're so lost.
Okay, let's get down to it then. What are you going to cut out and keep from last week's Guardian on a Saturday?
Well, to be honest, what are you going to cut out and keep from last week's Times?
Well, I've got a couple, to be honest. There's a 7-page positive article in the Times about immigrants.
What sort? I bet they're white immigrants.
No.
No?
No.
Cool.
There's also a profile on Jonathan Edwards, talking about being a born-again Christian, not Christian.
Well, he can't be a born-again Christian. He claims to be able to speak to dead people.
No, not Jonathan Edward.
Oh.
Jonathan Edwards, the athlete, who became a Christian, having been an atheist scientist, and then after he quit athletics and was hosting Songs of Praise, he realised that he was actually still an atheist.
Yeah.
So he's a born-again atheist.
I see. So he went from atheism to Christianity back to atheism again.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
He's honest enough to quit, unlike many priests.
Yeah.
But my main article that I'm going to cut out and keep is Dawkins on Darwin.
Ooh.
7 pages about Richard Dawkins talking about Darwin.
I think Richard Dawkins would hate Darwin. I think he'd be really critical of him.
I think so too. That's probably why he's going to be on Channel 4.
Did he talk about the time when Darwin put a load of worms on his snooker table and played the bassoon at them?
No. Not in this article, he might do in his documentary.
Oh, he's got a documentary coming out. I don't know. I mean, I remember the first time we saw The Root of All Evil.
It's a bit weird. Dawkins is an amazing writer.
Amazing.
But he comes across as unsympathetic, I think, is probably the best way of putting it, on screen.
There's an arrogance there, but it's not a misplaced arrogance. It's just, it's not charming. It's completely without charm.
Yeah, I think that's
probably
fair.
And that's the problem. You know, like, Hitchens is much more arrogant than Dawkins, but Hitchens charms the pants off you. So it's fine. It feels more comfortable, really. But Dawkins doesn't...
That's because you've got no pants on.
That is true. I mean, whenever I'm watching Hitchens, I have to take all outer garments off and flay myself like the monk in the Da Vinci Code.
With your nipple tassels?
No, with my buttock tassels. I saw Simon the Da Vinci Code.
Why?
Because I got one free. I was renting some films and I had one free and I thought, well, there's no other excuse. And I watched it and I quite liked it. It was a silly film. It was fine.
No, it's not even a good silly film. What was the other film that you rented?
I was renting an old Batman because I've only got the original. I don't have the Catwoman one before I prepared to go and see the actual Batman, which was really good. Really good. I mean, the Joker in it, Heath Ledger, is genuinely good, but he does remind me of an evil teller. He does have some of Teller's mannerisms.
Qualify that. You mean Teller from Penn and Teller, not
I do
someone at a bank.
Yeah, but, you know, to be fair, the opening scene is in a bank, so I think that's fair.
What's this got to do with Richard Dawkins and Darwin?
Everything.
Nothing.
Everything.
You're clearly getting away from the point. No, that's not. The article is brilliant.
My point is, Richard Dawkins should paint some things on his face and go around killing people, and you should also go and see the Batman film. And that if you treat the Da Vinci Code just as a silly romp, it's fine.
No, it's not. It's not a fine, silly romp. I agree with you that a film should be treated on it, you know, what it's trying to be. And it is trying to be a silly romp, and it's not a good silly romp. There are better silly romps. Transformers is a better silly romp.
Well, yeah, Transformers.
Hancock is a better silly romp.
I haven't seen Hancock.
Well, you should see it.
Well, you should see the Da Vinci Code. Have you seen the Da Vinci Code?
Yes.
What did you think?
I just told you what I thought of it.
You said it wasn't a silly romp.
I said it wasn't a very good silly romp.
What was it?
Bland.
It was a little bit bland. It wasn't. I was expecting it to be so much worse. That's the thing.
You just haven't got any articles to talk about, have you?
I do have articles. I've got
no,
really
you
good
don't.
I've got one, right, which is all about islands that float. But they're like man-made islands, like cruise ships. And there's all these people that are thinking of investing in these massive floating cities.
Oh, I saw some about that a few weeks ago in a different paper, so that's rubbish.
Well, what paper was that? What other filth did you have to read?
I think it was The Observer.
Okay, fair enough. The Observer's quite nice. But no, but the point is that everybody's sort of going, we should do this. And the idea is to have elite, posh people in these floating cities that drift around everywhere following the sun.
Like the party in the sky in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, and the only way you can get into these places is to give them really nice Greek olive oil. So there's that. I've got Remembrance of Fling's Past, which is basically this woman telling everybody that she's a bit of a prick by getting all of her boyfriends to tell her that she's a bit of a prick.
So she's a bit like Piers Morgan.
Well, she's more like a guy called Chris Waite did a documentary recently where he interviewed all his ex-girlfriends and she's basically doing the same thing. You know, it's somebody else's idea.
It's a bad idea as well.
It's navel-gazing beyond belief. And she sort of takes great delight that one of them still wants to sleep with her and... one of them's gay and one of them, you know, it's just, you know.
So she's basically saying the relationships might have ended, but they all still want me.
Well, she's just, I don't understand the point of it. Maybe it's just me, but I just think.
So hang on, so you're actually offering this up as a good cut out and keep article?
It was an interesting discussion piece.
Okay. You trashed my Darwin article because you knew
I
it was going to
trash your no, I didn't trash it at
all.
All
right, you avoided talking about it.
I did not avoid talking about
it.
You tried.
You went, Batman's really good, Batman's really good. Don't talk about Darwin because I know I'm going to lose. Batman's really good.
Well, I've got an entire little thing about how to be cunning.
Does it say change the subject when you're about to lose?
The essence of cunning is thinking about the direction the other person's heading and then digging a big hole on the route for them to fall into, like I just have.
Right, well, I win, clearly.
Yeah, but you're in a hole.
Health section now, 2 weeks of health. Oh, yes. And this is how good my paper is. I'm actually only going to use one of my health supplements this week.
What?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's because one of them's rubbish, not because
No, no, the other one's got a really interesting article about how vitamin D and sunlight can make you happy.
Balls,
exactly. But it says it's balls, so it's actually quite an interesting article in there. So, but this week I've got two. One, which I don't want to go into too much, but is very interesting. It's about cognitive neuroscience and talking about how the brain processes emotional and physical pain in almost exactly the same way.
Wow. So that's when you have a broken heart, it actually hurts.
Yeah, and how it literally makes that point. And
when you perpetually lose at something, like the Sunday supplement, you have to actually completely reroute it and do a Saturday supplement.
Yeah, essentially that, yeah.
And how when you lose that, you're really going to be in a hole.
Yeah, thanks.
At least you take some vitamin D.
Yeah.
I've got Body, is what it's called. And it looks at two different types of sport. In one, I've got climbing versus bouldering. And then in the next section, well, in the next this week's one, it's got not climbing versus bouldering, very strenuous activities, but darts versus snooker. It's brilliant.
Which one's better for you?
I'm out of darts and snooker. Well, it depends at what. I mean, injuries.
What?
In snooker, injury is very rare. But in darts, you can get darts thrower's elbow.
I would have thought the only physical danger you'll ever be in from darts is drunkenness.
One study shows that players take 3,700 steps a match.
Have you ever seen a fit-looking darts player?
Oh, yeah, they're all fit, baby.
No, they're not.
Oh, yeah. All of this sort of stuff, the body I've got next to, questions that you can ask the doctor. This is the best question ever. I am of athletic build, reasonably fit, and look younger than my 42 years. Whatever exercise I do, however, I never experience the endorphin rush. There is no buzz or high. I simply feel tired. Is this the case for many people? Which is brilliant, because that's exactly what I feel. The doctor says, yeah, it sucks.
Okay, well, I've got a better health question in mind. Right. Whole page, does penis size matter? And it's a waste of time because they both, two of them, giving apparently opposing answers, both say, no, it doesn't really matter. But it just annoys me. It clearly matters to people that they're going to put a two-page spread about it. You don't ever have an article saying, does the back of the knee matter? It must matter to some people, but that's irrelevant and by the by.
You're just having a go at me because you know I have tiny backs of knees. I think really insensitive.
Susie Godson begins her answer like this, and I don't think it needs comment. I'm just going to read it to you.
Okay.
Put it this way. If 6-foot Uma Thurman can park a Volvo XC90, 5-foot Kylie Minogue is probably good with a Mini. That's not to say she couldn't cope with a Volvo. The vagina is a Nissan Micra that can expand into a Renault Espace. But the point is, she would be just as happy with a Mini.
Hang on. First of all, she says that penises are cars, and then she says that vaginas are cars that can expand.
But celebrity vaginas only.
They are different sizes. Celebrities, just, not vaginas.
I just thought that summed up more about her than anything else. How do you want to put your metaphor into print? I want to talk about driving a car into Uma Thurman.
Stop talking cock. And be serious, that's not a good article. That's a horrible thing.
It is horrible. Does that mean I've just disqualified myself?
I think you might have done. I've got Are You Happy? Which is a little article about, you know, mental health. And they basically just interview some people and see if they're happy. And they're always like, yeah, ish. Isn't that nice? But also in this, I have What I See in the Mirror by Mira Sial. And also What I See in the Mirror by Martin Friedman.
And does Martin Freeman see Mira Sial, or does he by any chance just see Martin Freeman?
He mainly sees Martin Freeman, yeah. Mira Sial sees Mira Sial. But, you know, one of these days, the Guardian's going to interview somebody like Christopher Lee and realise that he doesn't see anybody when he looks in the mirror.
for article or farcical then. This is when Izzy will present me with several different articles, some of which are real and one of which is faked. And it's my job to poorly, as it turns out, guess which is the article and which is the farcical.
The first one, toast. Not that simple.
Yeah, it is.
Fair enough. Article number two, the fat duck.
Wow. Is that just derogatory about ducks?
No, it's the fat
You're
duck.
You're a fat duck, fat duck.
Three, world of lather.
World of what?
Lather.
As in soap.
As in soap. And guess what that's about?
It's about soap.
Yeah. It is literally the Guardian's little analysis of the week's soaps.
Oh, I see. As in soap operas, not as in Imperial Leather.
Not as in Imperial Leather.
Right, I see. So they're talking about soaping up Dirty Den.
All right, then. How to buy a plant.
Okay, and how does one buy a plant?
With money.
Yeah, okay.
And the final one, because I think I'm just going to throw this one in as well. I killed a man.
I killed a man.
So you have toast, the fat duck, world of lather, how to buy a plant, and I killed a man. Choose of those five which you think is the farcical.
Well, because I made such a good joke out of world of lather, that has to be an article. Toast. See, I don't think even fatuous supplements in newspapers can make a whole article about how to make the perfect toast.
To be fair, it is all about ciabattas and other breads.
Right, okay, you could have caught me out there by saying, but Simon, no, not bread toast. Drinks toast.
No, it's true. It could be about drinks toast. It's not, though, it's about...
All right, well, I'll say that's an article, although I have my doubt. Fat duck. You didn't tell me what that was about. I'm assuming it's about a fat duck.
It is about a fat duck.
Anything else about it you want to tell me?
Apparently, it's quite nice with sauce.
I'm thinking that that's the farcical, but we'll get back to that. I killed a man you chucked in at the end, probably because you just saw it as you were saying it. I'm going to say that's an article. The plant, how to buy a plant. Yes, yeah, why not? Yeah.
It's written by a lady called Carol Klein.
Yeah, I'm going to say fat duck or I killed a man is a farcical.
You're spreading your bets this week, is that what you're doing? You've got a betting slip and you're going for either of them.
Yeah.
I think they call that hedging.
That's it, I'm hedging my bets. Should have done that about the plant, shouldn't I? Boom.
Chicka chick. That was the wrong way around. Boom, chicka chick. That'd be a rubbish firework. Anyway.
Chicka chick boom is what you're trying to say.
Exactly, but it was boom, chicka chick.
I've never heard a firework go chicka chick boom. Maybe a really badly made roast dinner, but...
To be fair, that's for a rifle. That's the chicka chick and then the boom.
Ah, pump action.
Yeah.
So just to recap, I think...
The fat duck and I killed a man.
I killed a man, toast and plant are farcical.
No. So that basically, what does that leave you with?
That leaves me with the soap opera one, and I'm only saying that because I thought I made quite a funny joke about it. So they're all farcical except the soap opera one. And that's going to be the one that's the farcical now, isn't it?
Well, I think you need to pick one, Simon.
I'll go with my original two, duck and killed a man.
Okay, and... Duck, you know, duck. This is why I would never, ever, ever go to a gambling establishment with you or a bookies.
Well, I wouldn't be able to see over the tables.
Yes. And Simon would be the worst person to bring with you, as he is wrong. Both the fat duck and I killed...
Oh, for God's sake.
...are genuine articles, as is How to Buy a Plant by Carol Klein. Excellent article there, as is World of Lather. Which is toast, not that simple. It's something I made up.
Oh, God. I couldn't even get it right when I chose four of them. That's ridiculous.
No, to be fair, when you chose four of them, toast was included as one of the four, but I wouldn't let you do that.
Because one of them I chose was the right one, you mean?
Well, it was you chose four.
Look, I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Well, I don't, and you're a loser.
Travel then.
I've got a really nice article this week, and it's literally just people's favourite postcards.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. So literally, it shows the postcard and what was written on it. You know, it's quite nice. The best one, though, is Tom Allen, the comedian radio presenter, and his is lovely. It's this really beautiful picture of a train going over an aqueduct, and really bleak and really lovely postcard. And he explains that he wrote a play about two people on a train. It's one of the first things he'd ever written. And he decided to send off to some writers that he admired and ask for feedback, basically. And he received this through the post. And it says, "Dear Tom Allen, thank you for sending me your play. I'm sorry I couldn't get to the matinee, but it takes a lot to get me out of the house. I enjoyed reading it, and I hope it played as well as it reads. Try, though, and make the language of the boy and the girl different. It's not easy. I can't do it half the time. The voices are never the same. Good luck. Yours sincerely, Alan Bennett."
Wow.
How flipping cool is that?
That's cool. A postcard from Alan Bennett telling you that your play is very good.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. I don't think I can beat that, but I will try.
Go on then.
I've got a weird, wacky sport special.
Now, Simon, is that sport sat down looking at the contents of your belly button? Because that's the only sport I've actually witnessed you doing.
There's dog surfing.
Okay, that's quite cool. Dog surfing, is that when you go to a pound and you get a big ironing board and you just go straight across all the dogs?
No, it's when you strap your Yorkshire Terrier to a surfboard. There's goat polo.
Goat polo?
Yeah.
Nice. Is that when you give mints to goats and watch their expressions change?
No, it's when you cut off their head and kick it around.
Oh, I haven't seen that. That's amazing. They also do, like, razor wire kite flying in some countries, don't they?
Yeah, there's that. You try and chop each other's kite off. There's nettle eating.
And people get decapitated doing that. There's what?
Nettle eating.
Oh, that doesn't sound fun.
Pole sitting.
Now, is that when you look after somebody from Eastern Europe while their parents are out?
It's what they do in Jutland in Denmark. They actually, every August, compete to see how long they can sit on a wooden pole.
I mean, we're talking a big pole. We're not talking like a snooker cue, are we?
I don't know. There's no pictures. But my favourite one, and there's a picture of this, is chess boxing.
Chess boxing, right.
Yeah. There's a website, wcbo.org.
WCBO? Is that not the most rude and horrible? So it's water closet body odour.
Yeah.
.org, right? Yeah. Okay.
And they say it combines the number one thinking sport with the number one fighting sport.
Okay.
They essentially take it in turns to play a few goes at chess and then punch each other.
But is that how normal people play chess?
It's pretty much how you play chess, yeah. Because you don't like to lose.
I played it against a computer once and shit, did I win.
What, the boxing bit or the chess bit?
Let's put it this way. It's a very, very easy game when your opponent has a power cable.
Man alive, not only do we have two lots of papers for you this week.
Two!
We have two competitions for me to lose at.
Yay! Well, this one's more of a fun one. I very much doubt you will lose at this one, Simon.
Okay, well, let's quickly explain what it is. It's called Q&A.
So in every Guardian Weekend magazine, they basically send off like a Q&A thing. Questionnaire, that's the word, to a relative celebrity, author, or notable person. And what they do is they get the answers back. And of course, now I've got two weekend magazines from this week and last week, I can offer you the choice who you think answered which question which way.
Okay, so they get the same questions each week.
Yeah, in different orders though, so it's quite difficult to match them up.
Okay.
So it might take me a little while.
So who are the two celebrities?
Am Holmes, which I think is A.M. Holmes.
Right.
Unless her name is Am. Otherwise,
is there a dot?
Know, no, there isn't a dot, but, you know, okay. This is Guardian. They're a bit funky like that. Right. Anyway, she's 46, was born in Washington, D.C., and she wrote her first novel, Jack, age 19. The second person is Dizzy Rascal, 23, was born Dylan Mills and grew up in Bowie, East London. As a teenager, he began to DJ in local clubs, and at 16, he recorded his first single, I Love You, spelt I-L-U-V-U. Next month, he plays Kendall Calling, Reading and Leeds festivals.
Right. I'm going to call him Dylan, not Dizzy. Okay, give me the first question.
Okay. What's the worst job you've done? One is sealing envelopes. My mum made me do it. There were 15 boxes, thousands of envelopes. We were up all night and had to go to school the next morning. I hated it. The other one is working as my grandmother's helper. When I dropped out of high school, she hired me to clean her house because she wanted me to learn what my life would be like if I didn't finish school. I went back to school the next year.
I think you've shot yourself in the foot with that one.
What is that?
High school's a very American thing to say.
Look at you, picking up the lingo.
Yeah, so A.M. Holmes was the high school and Dylan Rascal was the envelopes. Yes!
Wait, Simon Dunn.
1-0.
What is the trait you most deplore in yourself? Is it anxiety or I swear too much.
Dizzy Rascal, would he say anxiety or would he say I swear too much? Dizzy Rascal would say I swear too much, but Dylan Rascal would say anxiety. So I'm going to say anxiety for Dylan and I swear too much for the author.
Boo!
I should have gone with my instincts.
Should have gone with your instincts. Okay, so next question. What's the best kiss of your life? I'm not a kisser, or I've had a few of them.
Wow. I'm not a kisser, that's Dylan. And the other one, which I can't remember already, is A.M. Holmes.
Oh. Okay, I'll give you a bit of an easier one. Aside from property, what's the most expensive thing you've bought? My grandmother taught me never to buy anything unless you pay for it in cash, which makes certain things a problem. But I'd like to buy an apartment, but I'm about $1 million short. Or a reversible gold black jacket I wore when Darts With Me video.
Stop.
There are only two of them in the world.
Stop.
And it cost a couple of grand.
And it wasn't your bucks that did it. It was the grandmother that did it. So.
Oh, you featured in an earlier question.
Exactly. So that's A.M. Holmes and Dizzy is
what. What makes you think that A.M. Holmes doesn't have a reversible gold and black jacket?
I don't know. She might have. I don't know. Right, so that's two all. This has got to be the decider then.
Oh, okay. What is the trait you most deplore in others? Powerlessness. I believe we each have the power to improve not just our lives, but the lives of others. And chatting shit about me.
See, have you thrown me a curveball? Yeah, look at that, with the cricketing lingo. Dylan talking shit about me. A.M. Holmes, the other one.
Hooray!
Oh, I win!
And as a result, flushes the toilet.
Wow, so that's one all in the competitions this week.
Yeah, good game, good game.
So we'll talk about books then.
Yep.
I've got a nice interview with Chuck Palahniuk, who is the writer of Fight Club. And I've never read any of his books, but I've read sort of stuff about his way of working, and he's got quite an interesting way of writing. He'll write self-contained short stories and then just make them about the same characters, and then that's how he wrote Fight Club. So each bit of Fight Club is just a self-contained short story with kind of overlapping themes.
Well, yeah, but it's quite a progressing film, Fight Club. I'm surprised at that, because it's quite an intricate plot. And it's about slow character development, so I find that very surprising.
Well, then I assume he then goes back and does rewrites and things. I'm not saying that's all he does, but it's just an interesting way of working. He's a bit weird. His new book's about pornography, which he describes as the adult version of a fairy tale, in that the plots are all the same. The outcome is always the same, and it just fulfills.
The outcome is a little bit more sticky than a fairy tale.
Well, I'm sure there are fairy tales that have stickier endings.
Well, only for witches.
Yeah.
The review section of The Guardian is very good. You get people like William Boyd and Julian Barnes, Alistair Campbell, Salman Rushdie, Jeremy Paxman, all doing little reviews of books or that sort of thing. The best one is, of course, Mary Beard, who did a review about a book on the Emperor Hadrian, who also has a massive beard. So when it says Mary Beard with a picture of Emperor Hadrian, you're just quite entertained by that.
Anyway, you interrupted me before I was able to tell you about the best bit of my Chuck Palahniuk article, is his fact about Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler had a fact?
Well, you know, Chuck Palahniuk has a fact about Adolf Hitler.
Oh, I see. It's not like he knows about Adolf Hitler's favourite fact.
No.
So I bet that's going to be about the bees disappearing.
No, it's better than that, to be honest. It's a fact about Adolf Hitler and how not many people know that Adolf Hitler invented the blow-up sex doll.
What? I mean, as a weapon, as in you put it under a British tank and it goes boom!
No, as a sex toy.
Hitler invented that?
Yes.
It's a bit like Margaret of Thatcher inventing Mr. Whippy.
Yeah.
Mr. Whippy being an ice cream and not a sex toy. No, Mr. Whippy would be an excellent sex toy when you come to think about it.
Basically, whilst Hitler was working as a messenger in the First World War trenches, he was appalled that Germans were sloping off to French brothels.
Yeah.
So he came up with the idea of the inflatable doll.
Did he actually make one?
He didn't get round to manufacturing them until nearly the end of the Second World War.
And he actually manufactured them during the war. That was his big plan.
Yeah, but the Allies bombed the factory.
bloody hell.
So I suspect we won the war because the Germans were just pent up.
That's very sweet of Hitler. What is it about dictators and their sex toys? That's what I want to know. Fidel Castro, he has cigars, Margaret Thatcher had Mr. Whippy, and Mao had catnip.
So we got our second cut out and keep section this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, two for the price of none.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you get what you pay for.
There's a heavy cost to listening to the Sunday Supplement, but it's not monetary.
No. Right, I'm going to cut out and keep Beware the Healer. And this is about Radovan Karadzic. So if you don't know, he's the butcher of Bosnia who basically been arrested for war crimes. But he was found kind of heavily disguised with a huge beard and glasses.
As Father Christmas.
Quite. And basically he spent the last 10 years hiding out as a complementary therapist.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Which just goes to show the sort of person who can basically hide away among those people quite easily.
This whole article kind of turns into a treatise about whether it works or not.
Really?
Yeah.
It's an article about a really groundbreaking moment where you can actually heal a country's wounds because you found the man responsible for genocide. And they're talking about, oh, maybe homeopathy isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Well, yeah. There's a nice quote in it which says, I was intrigued by his business card, which was headed Human Quantum Energy. I think you'll find that Serbian for bollocks.
Yay!
Which, for the times, you have to really tip your hat to that. And then they start talking about the increasing impetus to regulate the complementary therapy.
Oh, I can't stand that. Recently, in my area, there was a woman who managed to win a settlement out of a court case where a nutritionist with no medical training basically convinced her to drink 4 extra pints of water a day. And this gave her brain damage. So she took them to court. And as a result of that, I mean, the general thing is that these need to be regulated. And that's what the media is sort of saying. Now, you've got to be careful. Some of it doesn't work. And the whole thing, you can't regulate magic. It's magic. You can't regulate it. It's pointless. You either have to go to a doctor who has training in the body, or you go to somebody who's going to feed you pills that they don't know what contains, pull you back in weird ways, which they don't know what works, or just basically tell you you're wonderful. There's no point in regulating magic. How do you do that? We don't have a ministry of magic.
If they were serious, it would be a case of scientifically and rigorously testing it and then regulating it as not an alternative, but actually as medicine.
Which you can't do because none of them can stand up to trial. Even herbal remedies, it's not just the active ingredient in the plant herbal pills contain, it's the entire plant. So even though there are bits of it that work, you can't regulate it because you don't know what you're getting in each pill. Some of them can be like 6 times stronger than others.
Well, you have a point.
But my point is that the whole thing's a cult of personality, obviously, because the only reason that the Times is saying, oh, it's actually bad, is because a genocidal maniac decided to do it. But any time anybody else decides to do it...
No, that's not what the Times is saying at all.
Yeah, it is.
They're not saying it should be regulated because Karadzic did it. They're saying it should be regulated because it needs regulation.
No, they're not.
And they bring up the same example as you did with the woman drinking the water.
If Mother Teresa did it, right, everybody would be like, oh, that's really good, you know.
Well, they'd also think that it was amazing that she was back from the dead.
Yeah.
I think if Mother Teresa came back from the dead and started telling us that sniffing lavender was good for us, we'd probably all go, all right, yeah, you've come back from the dead to tell us that. It would have more weight.
Mother Teresa never had that much weight.
That's certainly not as a corpse.
Anyway, my point is that the reason that they've decided to attack it is entirely due to the people. And actually, that's why when you get, like, for example, in America, the whole vaccination thing with Jim Carrey going on about how, oh, vaccination's really dangerous. That's why you get it. It's because it's Jim Carrey saying it. If it was, you know, Pol Pot saying it, everybody would tell him to shut the F up. If it was Osama bin Laden going, oh, this acupuncture really helps me before I go out for mass genocide, everybody would be against acupuncture.
But I don't think there's any harm in some sort of regulation.
Well, how? How do you regulate magic? Explain to me.
Well, you can at least offer up statistics. If you regulated it, you could say, well, this is proven statistically not to
work. The industry would never
agree
to that.
That's not the point of the article. The article is saying it's these moves are going in spite of the industry.
But the only reason they're going against it is because you've got a dictator who's for it. And it's not like you can regulate any of this stuff anyway. So either you're going to have to make all of them say this is bullshit on the label, which I don't think they'd agree to, or you've got to give some of it some credence, which I think is just silly, because most of it, if not any of it, actually none of it works better than, you know, placebo. It's all balls. It's all balls. Big, big, soft ones.
Okay, so what are you going to cut out and keep from The Guardian?
Well, I'm going to go way against all that alternative crap and go straight to the technology, where there is a column called Dork Talk. And this is written by Mr. Stephen Fry.
Is this about the iPhone?
It is about the iPhone.
I read this on his website last night.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, he's clearly an Apple geek, isn't he?
And he's an Apple geek, but to be fair, he gives the other side of the story. He talks about the HTC Touch Diamond.
Yeah, he talks about the wind-powered ones. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting article, and it's nice to read someone waxing lyrical about technology without it sounding geeky. And he manages to capture a really nice balance between really good technical information and the notion of it being a fashion accessory as well.
Yeah, I love the fact that he's proud that it is a fashion accessory, that he relishes that it's not only about function, it's also about beauty. And he knows all the lingo, like jailbroke. Basically, the old iPhone, you couldn't adapt it and you couldn't put other applications off it unless you were really geeky and knew how to jailbreak it. But now you an installer icon on the new iPhone, so you can do all sorts of things. And what's really cool about it, I've seen this demonstrated, right, is on the iPhone it knows which way up it is perfectly, so you can get applications which is like a load of stick men standing in it, and then if you tilt the phone slightly, all the stick men stagger and go into the corner and fall in the corner, and then if you twip it over, all the stick men fall into the other corner. It's really funny.
Anyway,
I think I win that hands down. Because everybody's talking about that bloody article. I've got some of it in the main body of the paper, the genocidal maniac. And, you know, just because it's going, oh, actually, I don't think they are any good. The fact that it's linking them to a dictator, thus proving their point. I mean, that's basically that's the logical fallacy, isn't it?
You're making me choose between Stephen Fry and some pap journalist, aren't you? And yeah, that's not fair.
Well, I'm making it. Cheers.
All right, Stephen Fry then, isn't it, obviously?
Yes.
So it's time to decide which of us has the better Saturday supplements over the course of 2 weeks.
Now, I always say, you want to either be like Simon or you want to be like Izzy. You want to either be like Simon, who is quite a bitter man, really, living quite near Bristol, you know, or you want to be like Izzy, who lives quite near Oxford. Very beautiful, very young, and with better hair.
But this has nothing to do with our newspapers.
Well, I think it does, because I think mainly, you know, the way marketing works is the way we aspire to be like the advert. And if the advert for these papers is one or other of us, people are going to want to be like me. They're going to want to buy The Guardian.
You're just trying to make me vomit, aren't you?
I am, yes.
The paper you should read is not a lifestyle decision.
Of course it's a lifestyle decision. It's got a lifestyle section. How are you meant to decide what you're going to do without lifestyle?
It should just be which is better.
Well, the answer between that is still me.
Well, let's be honest. If we had done this last week as planned on just the 1 week,
yeah,
I would have won. Because I had Dawkins on Darwin.
Yeah, that's true.
I had all the cognitive science stuff. It's really interesting.
Fair enough.
But we ended up having to do an aggregate over 2 weeks, which is giving us a better statistical grouping. And it is quite
clear. Results are more significant, yeah, is the actual. The p-value would be a bit lower.
Yeah.
So it's still very high.
It's quite clear that The Guardian is a better Saturday paper than The Times.
Obviously, because it's the one I get.
So, basically, the paper you should have bought 2 weeks ago was the Saturday Times. But
yeah,
the paper you should buy on a Saturday is The Guardian.
Because it's pretty. It has nice paper.
And
it has
hair,
the...
And it's taller than me. And it's
it is taller
younger than
the,
me.
It's younger than the Saturday Times as well. And it's glossier. And it's supple. And it has quite a middle-class voice. But one which is still nice and familiar. And with good teeth.
I have good teeth.
You have huge teeth.
But they're good teeth.
Huge teeth.
I might look like a beaver, but that's not the point. I have...
I'm surprised you can eat anything that's so big.
Well, I tend to bang them on glasses quite a lot.
Yeah, you do, actually. He has this annoying thing of when he drinks, it clinks because he bites the glass.
So there we go.
I win again!
Izzy wins again.
But, you know, to be fair, Simon, you did win one of the competitions.
I did win one of the competitions, that is true.
But that's only because you are like Dizzy Rascal in that you deplore people chatting shit about you.
Dylan Rascal. Anyway, so that's it. That's your bumper double deluxe edition of Saturday Sunday Supplement. Do write to us, sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. Come visit the website, www.sundaysupplement.com. Join the Facebook group, recommend us to friends, dig us, all that sort of whorish stuff.
Please whore us, because, you know...
No one else will. We don't have pimps.
We don't have pimps. We have to stand on these street corners ourselves.
So if you want to be a pimp, if you want to be our pimp, get in touch.
And Simon will wear fishnets as requested.
But I want my pimp to have a hat and a big sort of multicoloured coat.
Obviously, because all pimps free the people of Israel.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.